I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in. Hi there, it's Jody, the mom side of Mom and Doc Talk. Dr. Barr and I are taking a short summer break to soak up some family time, and we hope you are too. While we're away, we're bringing back some of your favorite episodes, especially powerful stories from parents who've been where you are and found their way forward with homeopathy. We hope these episodes give you a little extra hope and a reminder that healing is possible. The Mom and Doc Talk podcast is brought to you by Resilience Naturopathic, a team of naturopathic doctors specializing in helping children with PANS pandas heal through classical homeopathy. Our providers are supported by a team made up largely of PANS parents, so we truly understand what you are going through. We work with families around the world and are determined to change how PANS families experience healthcare. You can learn more about us at resiliencenaturopathic.com. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. We have some amazing guests today. We have actually an extra guest beyond what we were originally anticipating, and we could not be happier. Today, we are excited to welcome a whole family here to talk about their experience with PANS and pandas. First, we have Kathy, who is with us. She is wife to a wonderful and supportive husband, Clayton, who is our bonus guest today. We're so thrilled to have him joining us today. They've been married for 27 years. Kathy is the mother of two amazing sons, Trey and Trent, who is joining us today. Trent is joining us today. She's an educator of 29 years, 20 years as an elementary assistant principal. Whew, that's some hard work. She loves to spend time with her family and support her guys at their football games and anything else that they're involved in. And maybe we'll even talk about football for a minute because, you know, we got a whole bunch of Texans here and I'm not from Texas, but I grew up in Ohio. So, you know, Ohio State, you know, my blood bleeds scarlet and gray. Football is in my blood, too. And so, of course, the star of the show, we have Trent, who is an 18-year-old high school senior. He loves his family, loves to learn, loves football, sees the good in everyone. He was diagnosed with pandas, PANS, and autoimmune encephalitis in July of 2019 after a sudden onset of symptoms in September of 2018. After having strep, a bunch of vaccinations that he had to get, and a seasonal allergy flare-up. He later found out that several viruses, Lyme, mold toxicity, and mycoplasma pneumonia played a role in his PANS and pandas. This guy has had it all. He was homebound from school, but he's talking to us from school, guys. Like, just pause to celebrate there, like at school. So he was homebound from school and anything outside the house except for appointments for treatment and doctors from December of 2018 to May of 2023. Returned to school as a junior in August of 2023. He's playing football. He's a president of the Science Club, inducted into the National Honor Society, academic all-district for football, all-A honor roll in the 2023 to 2024 school year, Science Award for the highest chemistry GPA, member of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, selected to serve as a PAL or a peer assistance leader and the superintendent's roundtable for this year, this school year, the 24 to 25 school year. I mean, we're done, right? Do we even have to? I am so like literally chills head to toe. Trent, I haven't talked to you before, but I talked to your mom earlier on in your journey. You weren't nearly where you are now. So like me, I've had the sneak peek, and anybody who's a member of our Facebook group, you can go see the first video that Kathy did with us. It's only in our Facebook group. So there'll be a link to that in the show notes. But like just knowing where you came from to like that list of all of the things, holy cow, chills. So thank you so much for joining us to share how you get from being homebound and like not able to do anything to being all of these things, which, by the way, anybody who's listening, Trent is amazing and exceptional, but not uncommon for PANS kids. I got to tell you, PANS kids, these kids, like this is where PANS ends up being such a gift for people in the long run. Horrible to deal with it when you're dealing with it. And it ends up giving on the other end when you get through and then when you heal and especially when you use homeopathy to help heal, the things that you get on the other end are remarkable. So obviously an exceptional person that we're talking to here. And it's not uncommon to see this in the PANS community. So welcome, guys. So excited to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
So I already read your bios, but tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you're here talking to us in the first place.
Let's go first.
You can go first, buddy.
My name is Trent. I'm 18. I'm currently a student, high school student. senior. I'm about to graduate. I guess I'm a fat guy because I've had PANDAS. So I was diagnosed in 2019, like you said. First started having symptoms in 2018. And it was really just a huge struggle during my life for about 3.5 years, kind of like front end of high school for the most part. And like at one point, like I didn't leave the house for like 6 months. And yeah, and I love football. I love to play football. And that was definitely one of my like pushes to get better was to start playing football again and just going back to school and talking to people. So yeah.
And so, and I would think between Clayton and I would just say, we just want to share Trent's story to give other people hope because we've been at the lowest of the low and just to see that there is a way out, just to give people hope.
Man, I want to talk to you guys. I know we got to keep this like, you know, reasonable time frame, but man, I want to talk to you guys about all the things, right? Because PANS and PANDAS affects people in so many ways. I want to talk to Trent. I want to hear about all of your experience. I want to hear about the mom experience, the dad experience, and then the family experience, because the reality is PANS is a family condition, right? Like it doesn't just affect the kid that has it. It affects the entire family. And so, you know, anything that you guys want to share on those topics, I would love to hear your insights for. But let's start with just like what was life like when PANS first showed up? Like what were your first symptoms? If you don't mind sharing, Trent, like what you experienced so people can maybe relate, because it, you know, PANS shows up differently for lots of people.
I've always been kind of like neat, as you can say, like OCD-ish. Like when I was little, I would have my helmets in my cars and I would like play with them. And I always would need them in like a certain spot. And like if someone messed with them, like one of my brother's friends would mess with them, I'll kind of get upset. But it was just kind of like little stuff here and there. But when I think going like summer of seventh grade and kind of leading up to that, like fifth grade, I kind of was a little OCD-ish. Like I'll wipe something down with Clorox wipe every once in forever. Mm-hmm. And like there's certain people I didn't kind of want to go around. But then seventh grade, I think going into seventh grade, I started wiping myself down with like Clorox wipes, like secretly. And I probably did it without my mom knowing for at least a few weeks. And it was kind of in my head that like for me to get in my bed at night, I had to be, you know, clean. So I needed to wipe myself down with Clorox wipes because that's what makes you clean, right? So I would wipe my skin down, I'd wipe my shirt down, I'd wipe my legs down, everything. And my mom eventually realized what I was doing and she was like, "Hey Trent, you need to stop it." So that was kinda like the first kind of friction. And then she kinda had to give me like a substitute. She gave me like wet wipes because she knew like the Clorox wipes weren't good for my skin. And then we don't have the photo right now, but hopefully we can find it. But like in seventh grade, I played football. And when I took my football photos, like you can see the discoloration in my skin to where like my eyes were like light, way light. And like my skin right here was light. And you could see that like there was something like not right. And, yeah. And then like my mom said, I kind of had like a multiple things going on at that time, you know, seventh grade. So as you just seen puberty and like kind of just getting into life and all that stuff and those shots and like the flu shots and like catching whatever I caught, just everything kind of coming all at once. Uh-huh. And then I believe the day it really started to get bad was we had a football game and I didn't play horrible, but I think I let up a touchdown and then I think I blamed myself for holding the field goal wrong or something like that. And we lost 8-7. And I think some of my teammates were blaming me. And I think like that just hurt because I'm so passionate about it. And I think my mom said after that, I really started to spiral, especially at home.
With the perfectionism and it just seemed like it was like a click. And we, with the perfectionism and then the cleaning, the Clorox wipes, wiping the bed down, wiping his body down. And then just anxiety, he was always a good student, a straight A student. He could do his homework in 20 minutes. His homework started taking him 4 or 5 hours because when he would write and whatever number was in his head, he would like trace like a, he was writing a T. He'd make the line if it was 20. We started at 2 and we probably made it up to 96. And he'd write over and over and over it again. He'd have meltdowns, like if we wore our shoes in the house because the outside was dirty, you wear the shoes in your house. And we'd been wearing our shoes. I mean, he was 12, so he'd always wear the shoes in the house. He'd have meltdowns if we, about our shoes being in the house, about his backpack touching the floor. And so it just kind of spiraled. But he was still holding things together at school. It just broke down at home. Yeah, so you look at it as just like anxiety or OCD. You look at it as mental health. And so you go see the counselor because my child is anxious.
Right.
And like we definitely, like I described it personally, it's kind of like going through a minefield. Because like, especially in my spring semester, because I didn't have football. And football was one of those one things like, hey, like, I can't like not be able to perform at school because if I don't go to my classes at school, like,
yeah,
I'd be playing the game on Monday or whatever. So that's what, but definitely during the spring semester, it got a lot harder. I think it just kept getting worse. And like, it was at a point to where like, because like I was wiping myself down with Clorox wipes and I couldn't do that. And it was like, it was a very tedious task because like, I feel like I had to do it perfectly. So like at one point, like every night I would just go lay in, my mom would put a comforter out on like on the floor and I would just like cry every night because I was just like so confused. So every, just all the emotions, I would just like kind of try to keep it together at school and then go home and just cry and like eat. And like, it was pretty crazy. Like there's always like kind of like a silver lining, but like, I remember like the one thing that always brought me joy, like every night I tried to like watch a Practical Jokers like on TV. So like, I literally watched that every night. And that was kind of like my one thing that kind of kept me somewhat together. So it was definitely a hard experience. And then like it was, and then also like I was going through, I played football, basketball, track. I think I tried out for soccer and I played tennis. Okay. So like I was doing all that and then had to kind of balance it with the sports and the classes because I took all pre-AP classes besides English. And then like different events were definitely hard, like basketball. I had a hard time like having my shoes off in the locker. They're just kind of, it was just little things sometimes that were pretty difficult for me. And I remember one example was like, I made it to district in high jump. And like, for some reason I wanted chalk to like mark my steps. I don't know why. And like all someone had was tape and I like was like losing it. Maybe I didn't want to touch the ground, but like, it was like, it was just really difficult for me. Like I like faulted all three jumps and like, cause I was just kind of like, I wasn't right. And it was also, it was one of my family friends was there too. And he was a coach for another school. He was like, you all right, Chandler? Like, cause he knew kind of something was, someone wasn't right with me. So yeah.
You know, I appreciate that you already, I'm so grateful. I didn't even have to ask you about your emotions, right? Like you shared, like it was scary and it was sad, right? You were like, was there anything else? And I ask this because there's so many, especially young men, who when they're going through this or even like non-immune mediated mental health challenges, although I think basically 99.9% of mental health challenges are immune mediated, and we'll eventually realize that psychiatry should just be a subset of immunology, right? We'll get there eventually. But it can present in such a different way than what people are expecting, right? So like sometimes for young men, depression and anxiety can come out as anger and get really confused and treated differently. So I'm curious if you could share with me any more details about like the emotional experience that you had with all of these things that were probably like a bit startling and unsettling for you to experience, and like how you felt and how maybe you reacted to those emotions.
Well, it was definitely like hard because like I'm Trent, like I'm outgoing, I'm like fun, like I go an hour away to overnight football camps every summer, basketball camps. I'm going to Austin. I'm going to gymnastics camp. Like, I'm like always out the house, always playing with friends, like always doing whatever. And like, I've never really experienced this before to where I was like, I'm not able to do what I want to do. Yeah. And like when I want to do it, cause like I was like definitely as a kid, I was very independent and I kind of was like, really just like always out there doing all the activities, whether no matter what it was, swimming, track, tennis, soccer, I was just kind of outgoing. And then to kind of go from that to seventh grade to having all those mental struggles, I think I just like kind of packed it down and then kind of what my mom said, broke down at home, which probably wasn't healthy at all. And like
And he never had rage, but he was irritable. He was on edge. So any little thing could irritate him.
Yeah, because I think especially with the OCD, like you get so caught up with it. And like kind of OCD brain, it makes you have like these rules in your head. So like I could be doing something. And I think what made me irritable was like I could be like going on something for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, I feel like I'm almost done. And then my mom interrupts it. I feel like I have to restart it all over again. Mm. And like that just hurt because you're like, oh, I was almost finished. Like I was about to be done. And I got to do it again. And then like, it's definitely difficult. Yeah, trap. Exactly. It was definitely difficult emotionally. And then like, especially in the spring semester, at one point, like I wasn't going to class. Like I think it was definitely after all the sports seasons ended, which was kind of my like thing to like excuse to keep going and not do anything. But at one point, like I just stayed in the counselor's office like all day.
But he was still getting up and going to school.
Yeah.
Because then after that, you know, we've had a point where he wasn't able to get up and get out the house.
Yeah.
To go to school.
Kathy and Clayton, as parents, what was it like whenever, as this kind of like cascade started and then Trent started to spiral? How was that for you guys?
Well, just talking about it brings back memories. You know, at first I was just shocked. I didn't know what to think. You know, just feel like it all happened overnight. He was just one kid one day and the next day is a different kid. And just trying to fill in those voids, like what happened? You know, as a father, you're trying to find answers. And man, there were no answers. And so, but hats off to my wife. I mean, I can tell you this, she researched and got it figured out. I was just there for, I feel like I was supporting her and him and myself and everybody. It was tough. But, you know, I think through it all, it taught us a lesson about love. Man, this was, you know, watching him go through this and then watching my wife go through it and, you know, trying to be tough myself, you know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But at the same time, watching him now and seeing what he gained from that. I mean, he's probably the happiest kid at the school. We've got 3,000 kids here. And I'm lucky to get to watch him walk the hallways and just knowing what he's been through as a father, watching him walk down the hallways and just be happy about life. Because at one point, man, I mean, again, he wouldn't go outside. He wouldn't talk to anybody. He wouldn't. There's a lot of things that he wouldn't do. And so.
Yeah. And at a point, Clayton was Trent's person. At one point in time, I was not able to see Trent for 8 months because I was contaminated. And so he would only allow his dad in the room with him to give him medicine. When the OCD got bad, like he wouldn't touch his plates. He wouldn't touch his water bottle. And so his dad would have to hold the plate and pour the drink in his mouth and take him his meds. And so, you know, as a parent, that's scary. That's hard, you know, because we have always been close and it's heartbreaking that, you know, your child's mind is telling him that you are contaminated and you can't see him. And I think like then COVID happened. And I think that just all his worst fear came true, I feel like, with COVID. Yeah. People were contaminated.
Trent, there's no part of life that Pans doesn't touch. Yeah. Talk to us about your experience with school a little bit more, but more importantly, with your friendships. How did it impact that?
It was definitely kind of difficult, especially like in eighth grade, because seventh grade I was able to hide it, but eighth grade, not as much. I wasn't able to hide it. So like, it was a little bit of bullying, but like kids are stupid and they'll call you like a germaphobe or like this and that, or like try to kind of touch you when they know that like bothers you. So that was definitely like a difficult thing to experience. And then like at one point, like I think I just got tired of it. Like, and it was at the end of football season. I think it was right after football season ended actually. And I think some kid just like hit me with a rubber band, and I don't know, something just kind of snapped in my mind, and I like kind of ran after him. And I threw like a punch, but it wasn't really a punch. It was just kind of like a squabble when it got broke up quick. And like, I've never been in a fight in my life. So that was really the only time. And then like after that, we both got ISS. But I personally don't think it was fair because like the principals knew what was going on, but I feel like they didn't help me to the extent they should have. Like, for example, like we had football practice in the morning, and I would show up with the football practice like every day. And my mom would email the teachers, email the principals, like, hey, he's going through this. So like, it's going to take him longer to get dressed because of this, this and that. And I would be late every day to first period. And she would like write me up like a late pass, even though we already explained to her what the situation was. So that was definitely like a difficult experience. And, I transferred to another junior high, and like they were really kind there. I was blessed to be able to go there for a month, especially before I went to before I went homebound. The counselor took like real good care of me, but I think just at that point it was like almost too late, you know. Like I was just they had rooms just for me. They let the doors open because they knew the door I couldn't touch door handles. If I felt like anxious and I needed some clean with Clorox wipes, the counselor would do it for me, and like my teachers would hold the door open for me and make sure I was taken care of. But I think just at that point it was too late for me to like kind of get better, even though they took care of me. So it was hard. And then like also like I had relationships like with kids at like both of those schools. And like, not all of them like stayed in contact. Like, I would kind of text them or whatever, and like they would kind of just like slowly like back away. And that was definitely hard to like. On top of all this, I'm going through. Like, it's harder for me to have friends that are my age, mm-hmm. and it was hard for me to talk to my parents and my mom about it because it was hard for me to just talk. Because when we had conversations, I couldn't hold a conversation because I kept having to ask my mom and my dad to repeat or say something a certain way or X, Y, and Z. So that was definitely like difficult just to experience that. But there definitely was like a good amount of people that did stay in my life and that did always keep in contact and didn't make sure I was okay. So I'm always, you know, grateful for them. And, you know, you always got to look at like the bright side of things.
You said that when you were talking with your parents, that it was hard to even talk to them because you would need them to like, say things again, or that you would need to you didn't understand them. I want to make sure I'm clear, because kids with PANS can sometimes have cognitive regressions or difficulty like staying focused on something, and they can also have like compulsions or obsessions that make them so that something needs to be said in exactly a certain way. So I'm curious if it was both for you that you were experiencing, both it was hard to understand what was happening and they needed things to be in a certain way, or if it was like one or the other.
I don't know, Mom. I feel like it was mostly the second one, but
you needed it to be said a certain way.
I think my mom just kind of convinced me. Like, we could have a simple interaction, like, do you want more? Like, do you want more? Whatever, and that could last like 20, 30 minutes, just because.
Yes, say it exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
And wait, 20, 30 minutes was a good. When we got to a better place, his dad probably had hours, 3-4 hours of the loop of questioning when things got hard, and over and over, and sometimes it had to be in a certain voice, hello, whisper, certain place in the room, a certain order.
So Clayton, I gotta ask you now this too. I'm just gonna jump in and keep interrupting and on to different things, but like, if you are, so many parents are in the same situation where they are the safe parent, and sometimes it's dad, sometimes it's mom, but then you end up becoming part of the OCD, and you can get caught in it for hours too, which is again why PANS is like it's a family thing. How did you cope with that as a human and as a father who had responsibilities beyond just being part of an OCD loop?
You know, I just kept the thought in my head that, you know, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be over at some point. I just didn't know when.
Yeah,
I just knew I was in it for the long haul, no matter what. I wasn't gonna give up on him. So, if it lasted 25 years, I would have stayed there.
Give you some honesty, but sometimes he'd have to take a break and go take a nap.
that would make me mad.
He would wake up, and when Trent figured out he woke up, he would start back.
Yeah.
And we can giggle about it now, but at the time it was like,
yeah.
And he would go take like a 30-minute or hour nap, and then he'd come back and he'd Because as parents, you don't know. You don't know. I can't. And I just feel like, I'm sorry, my opinion, I think like pans OCD is totally different than like strictly OCD. If you don't know that point of like, my child is in distress, like I need to help with this distress, and if I don't help with it, it's going to continue forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm sure, I don't want to put anything on you because you seem like a very calm, very cool guy, but there's some parents, I'm sure, who get really angry. So if like you're a parent who's listening and the OCD loops have like caused anger or like hard, difficult feelings that you don't want to have about your child, but that like it's not your child, it's the situation. I just want to make sure that you know that you're not alone, that it is a hard, hard thing. Nobody's happy in it, right? Trent was not happy to be in that loop and like wanted to nothing more than for it to end. And so when something interfered with the process of getting it done, it's maddening. And then it's also maddening for like the person who's stuck in it with you. It's just, it's this no win situation. It's so hard.
Yeah. And then when Trent sees or hears the anger or the agitation or the tiredness, then he starts feeling like, I'm not good enough. Yeah. You know, don't you wish I was someone else? You know, those types of things. And so, but when you're stuck in a 5-hour loop, it's everybody's losing.
And when you're young, it's hard to know that it's not your fault. Even if people tell you it's not your fault, like you're still like your brain is still developing. And when your brain is developing and it's on fire, it's hard not to take all of this to be about who you are instead of something that's happening to you.
Hard to like cope, like what did I do to like deserve this, you know?
So Trent, I don't know if you know this, but I likely had PANS as a kid. I'm too old to have ever been diagnosed with it, but I had some experiences. Mine was different than yours. I was more of like the depressed and like rage filled kid, and I not as much of the OCD and that you had, but it's like, yeah, it is hard not to feel like, what did I do to deserve this? I used to say that I must have like been a horrible person in a previous life that I was paying for it now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's just hard all the way around. Kathy, how has PANS impacted your relationships and your work?
Relationship-wise, I'm an introverted extrovert. So I have like a few close friends, but I'm not like someone that's always, Trent smiles because he's an extrovert. So like, I think it made my relationship with my husband stronger. My relationship with my parents are extremely strong. We lived with them for a year of this work. Thankfully, Trent went on homebound to do IVIG. Clayton and I did intermittent FMLA. And so Clayton would stay home with him for 2.5 days a week, and I would stay home for 2.5 days a week. And so we did that for a few months, and then COVID happened. So we were working from home through 2019. And then when the school year started 2020, Clayton was lucky enough that he was able to work from home. He was able to teach from home because we were still in COVID, and we had also moved in with my parents. My dad retired for a second time, so when we had to be at work, he was at home with Trent, even though he wasn't able to interact with Trent. So in my work, people were very understanding, but I did that year, and then in 2021, Clayton got a head coaching job out of town. I did intermittent FMLA again, because I would take off 1.5 to 2 days a week to take Trent to doctors, to therapy. So it was hard working and taking care of that. But I just think I think God just gives you like a strength that you don't even know that you have just to keep going, because it was like, I have to figure out how am I going to help my kid?
Yeah, them hour long two in there appointments, three days a week was not no joke at all.
I can remember, you know, coming home and, getting out of practice and coming home and then staying up all night. And then jumping in the shower and going back to work. For I don't know how long that lasted. I don't know how long. I mean, I just got used to it. I mean,
insomnia was huge for Trent. He couldn't sleep for most of that 3.5 years he was home. He didn't sleep at night.
So no one at work knew that I hadn't been asleep. Again, you do what you can for your kids. You find that extra energy, you find the extra strength, and you just get it done. I had no time to complain. That one. Yeah. So,
Clayton, I'm curious. I'm always we don't get a whole lot of opportunities to talk to dad, so I'm always super grateful whenever we do. How did this impact your friendships? that you had?
You know, it really didn't impact my friendships. I had friends, they called and they asked questions, you know, and I explained to the best of my ability about what was going on. But I mean, my friends were my friends. I don't have a whole bunch of friends. My best friend is my wife. So but I have associates. But, for me, the most important thing was what was going on inside of my household, inside of those walls. That was my main focus. Everything else was secondary. So,
yeah.
But we had lots of people in our lives that would call and check in and just see, you know, where we were, that were praying for Trent. And then also you have to try to keep that balance of privacy. You know, what does Trent want people to know about what's going on with him? It's was his story to tell. And so.
Yeah, it's a tightrope to walk, especially in middle school and early high school. That's a tough time, no matter how well you're feeling. And when you're going through something that people don't understand, it's even worse. And you had like this perfect storm of all of these things going on at the same time that kicked it all off. I want to shift gears a little bit. I appreciate taking the time to talk about like the experience of your family, what you went through. But let's talk about how you got here now. Okay. So you started mentioning something about treatments and all the research that you were doing, Kathy. So how did you first start approaching addressing all of this? And then I want to talk about obviously homeopathy, because that's what brought us all together here. But what did you do before you came to homeopathy? And
so first we saw a counselor, and we were going to see a counselor for anxiety. And then in February of 2019, and I'd start seeing like pandas, pans, different place, just the words, but just didn't know what that was. My mom saw a TV show like on ESPN. Ooh, it was
March
an interview.
Madness, I think, right?
Yeah, March Madness. One of the coaches, his son had like a sudden onset of OCD when he was like 12. They were in the Final Four. And so my mom called and she was like, you need to watch this. This is what's going on with Trent. And so I watched it. And so then I started looking up pandas and I was like, oh my God, this is what's going on with Trent. And got in with my pediatrician and she goes, I've heard of it. I don't know anything about it. You need to see a neurologist. So she gave me a couple of neurologists, called to make an appointment. This was in March of 2019, called to make an appointment. And no one could get me, one place could get me in 5-6 months, and one could get me in 3 months. And so we were finally able to get in to see a neurologist here in Katy in June. And we had some blood work done. We had went to Tampa to do OCD treatment, and we had some blood work done there because I asked them about pandas. And she did the blood work, and when she got the blood work, we were there for 2 weeks, and I think y'all were back home, Clayton, when she called, and she was like, you need to go see a panda specialist. And I was like, well, we have an appointment with a doctor in the end of June. And so we went, and the doctor ran blood tests, and his strep was through the roof. His mycoplasma pneumonia was through the roof. All the antibodies were elevated. He started a round of antibiotics. And did he start the antifungal? Maybe it was just the antibiotics then. And he was himself for 6 weeks. We got the diagnosis like early July. He was himself for 6 weeks. He started school in eighth grade. And the first week of school, he came home and said, my throat is hurting. And we weren't able to recover from that. We did more testing and we found mold. We found just a lot of stuff. And so we were trying to treat. And by October, his doctor was recommending IVIG. And so that initially started the homebound to do IVIG. And we started that December of 2019. Didn't see anything with the first one. So we did December, we did January, we did February. And I believe that is when, probably about December, we started the IVIG is when I saw Jody telling the story of your oldest daughter. And I started following you guys and called. And I was able to get an appointment, I think, like maybe the end of January 2020 or beginning of February. And so, but then about March of 2020, Trent stopped taking anything, like refused to take anything. And so I wasn't able, I think his tongue remedy, I was able to get in one. But initially, like his remedy, like spiraled things for him. And then I tried to sneak it, and I didn't realize that you shouldn't put a pellet in a whole thing of water and let him drink it. That was not, because you're thinking, okay, I want to get this in you. And so that's, I just start watching the videos and, you know, I was like, okay, I was like, let me give it a try. You know, it's not because you, it's just so much. And then seeing, you know, success stories of other parents. And I was like, okay, it's 3,000-4,000 remedies out there. There has to be one for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also ad lib on my mom's thing. We were playing like 7-on-7. My brother was a coach, and I had to go to Tampa to like for my OCD, and like that was a pretty rough experience for me. I'm not gonna lie, like it was hard, and like at one point, like I just like they kind of made you do exposures. And I just don't think I was at that point yet. Like one time, like I refused to like open a door handle, and like I was like I'm staying outside in this like 96 degree weather than open this door handle. And I was like out there for like 25-30 minutes, and it was rough. And then like I think I just kind of like white knuckled it through, just kind of like pushed through, because I just wanted to go back home. And I just like it was I was in like a whole nother state, and I just need to get through it. And I think my dad says also I kind of wanted to get back to my 7-on-7 season. And then like I think we're there in Tampa, and I maybe threw like one time, and I think I flew back, and then maybe the next day we had a game, and I threw like 3 touchdowns. It was funny though. And then, but really, it was really only my mom and my dad and my brother that really knew what was going on. And then going back to school, I don't know if I thought I was better. I think like my yearbook teacher was like, "Yang, like we got the old trend back or whatever." And I think I was just kind of scared to like let anybody know, because I didn't want to go back to Florida. Like I gotta do what I gotta do so I don't have to go back to that place. So yeah. I was just trying to like just make it through, but it was good for a little while, and then I caught stress.
So it sounds like homeopathy is not something that you guys had in your worldview before PANS. It's one of those things that you found through your research of options for it.
I never heard of homeopathy.
Okay, so it sounds like it was through, I'm just making some assumptions from what you said, just to make sure we're clear for any listeners who are not familiar with our Facebook group. It sounds like it was within the Facebook group, like you stumbled on that, and then you heard people, like, and Jody in particular, sharing about their story. So which one of you was the one to find the homeopathy group? Cool. Clayton, what did you think about it when Kathy brought it to you?
You know, at that point, I was like, you know, I'll try anything.
Yeah.
But I trusted her. I mean, she's going to research it and figure it out. And I trust her wholeheartedly. So.
And did you guys talk to Trent about it when you decided to get started, or did you just get started? And
I think they got and gave me a heads up, like, hey, we're going to try this. I was like, shoot, why not? Like, we ain't got nothing to lose.
Okay. All right.
Talk us through kind of the beginning of the journey. I know that Kathy, you said that you had some little hiccups here and there, and it's a learning process. What did you guys think about it whenever you first got started?
Well, it was hard when we first got started because of the inconsistency with Trent and what he was willing to do. So like when we first started, probably for the first 6 or so months, we were probably changing remedies monthly because we weren't seeing anything. And then he was inconsistent with taking. He wasn't talking to me. So my communication with Dr. Tapia was what I could hear from Clayton. And so the first year was hard. Because of the communication, like, I don't think Trent probably was able to talk to Dr. Tapia until probably like 2021. And we started in 2020. Hold a conversation. And so Dr. Tapia has heard the loops of.
Yeah.
But then I want to think probably that summer of 2020, we did. I don't know. Can I say a remedy?
Sure.
I think we did Belladonna the summer of 2020. And that was like the first one that gave us like some little glimpses of some, okay, this is kind of cool, you know, just a little relief for him. And so Belladonna, from January until that summer, Belladonna was the only one that we were able to go up in the potencies. And And then it was, I was back talking to Trent so I could relay what he was saying to Dr. Tapia. And then when I talked to y'all that December of 2021, that was like, I can't remember which one it even was, but it was like, that's when he like really had like a turning point where he started going outside and doing things out the house, being around family during Christmas time. And so it was like those little pushes along the way, because we probably, y'all, I could be exaggerating, but I think we've probably gone through probably 30, 40 before we got to the one I call it.
and those 30 like, or 40 helped get you to the place that you could have a really big response to the one that was.
And it was just those little pushes along the way. And then I had listened to all of y'all's talks and things. And you know, where you talk about it's going to be a step forward, then you may go two steps back, and you're going to, and then working with Dr. Tapia to, because he smells his remedy, he sniffs it, he takes a sniff.
You're super sensitive, so you aggravate.
Oh, he is in eight ounce of water pellet, a teaspoon of that, and another 8 ounce of water, mm-hmm. and he sniffs it.
All right. So yeah, so just so anybody who's listening, this is something that we'll use with really, really sensitive people. And so we're using like the olfactory nerve to help get it in, but to have it be a smaller amount than you would get if you were taking it orally. So that means you guys probably aggravated.
Yes. So we aggravated plenty along the way. Yeah. Yeah. Plenty along the way. But then you would see those little glimpses. And I see a lot of people that, you know, they're like, we've been trying for 2 years. We're going to give up. But my view was, I can't give up. I hadn't tried all 3,000 of them. So there has to be something if I keep going this next. But then I finally realized that it's just going to be like a push, until all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, making a difference where, you know, we can even now, because I think now he goes about 2 weeks before he does his remedy. And like the other day he asked something. And his daddy was about to get onto him. I was like, don't make his remedy. I said, that's what he needs.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had taken the remedy at Nana's house, Mom?
Yes.
Kathy, I love that you share in the beginning the struggles that you guys have. And I feel like there's a lot of moms that need to hear this specific thing, because I hear a lot that there is anxiety about getting started because we're concerned about this or we're concerned about that. So we're worried about starting. And I feel like I say this so frequently, and you just literally explained exactly what I say, is homeopathy is so forgiving. We just have to do our best. And it always seems to work out. And our best looks like, you know, choppy communication. Our best looks like sometimes our kids won't take the remedy. Our best is, you know, sometimes as moms, I'm speaking for myself here, do a terrible job at, you know, recording during the month so we can report and follow up appointment. And still homeopathy is so forgiving and so good that it all ends up working out. So anybody who's feeling that anxiety about, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm not going to be good at that part, you're fine. Homeopathy's got you. Your provider's got you.
You just do your best. You have to learn that, like, after a while, I just learned that I just tell Dr. Tapia, and now Trent can do his appointments himself. He just tells her, you know, she asks the questions, he can answer them. And that's, as a parent, you know, you want to go look up the remedy and see what it's helping with. And, well, he's not doing that. But then once you realize, okay, I'm just going to tell it all and let it fall into place the way it's supposed to. And each one, I think, just kind of moves you along.
Yeah, but I think what was so great about homeopathy, I didn't have to stop any of my other like medicines or any of my other treatments, so I could still like build on my progress with other stuff while still doing the homeopathy on top of it. And I think like it was interesting, because I think like how my mom described it was like a perfect storm to kind of like get me into it, and it was also like kind of like a perfect storm to get me out of it with all the mixture of different treatments and therapy and homeopathy.
Yeah. Well, and Kathy, what you said about like basically patience and persistence, like you were like, we got to get through this. Something's gonna work. I just have to wait and work through this. Because a lot of people, especially when they're dealing with kids who have onset a bit later, like Trent did, that there's the challenge of like, I don't know what's going on in my kid's head. My kid won't talk to me. My kid or my kid won't participate, or my kid won't take the things, and all the stuff that you guys went through. And some parents can probably hear your story and be like, oh, well, if we just would have done better, done something different, we could have gotten there faster. And the reality is every single thing along the way was the best that you could do at the time and the best remedy that could be given at the time. And it was all part of the process. Yeah. And so all we can ever do is we're always doing our best that we can at the time and the place that we're at. And it's all part of the process and the journey.
And as you get better, you can do, you know, you can do more. As you get better, it's the improvements happen.
So I want to just ask a couple more quick questions about homeopathy. And then we want to shift gears to give you guys the opportunity to give people advice who are listening, who might sound like have like some like familiarity with what you're sharing, because they might be experiencing it themselves. So with homeopathy, I'm guessing I know what your challenges were, that you aggravated and you had a lot of ups and downs. You kind of already talked to those. So I'm guessing that's what you found most challenging about homeopathy. But if there's something else you want to add, go ahead and add it. But I'd also love to hear what you found to be most rewarding about using homeopathy.
One of the most challenging parts for me, at least, was a little petty reason, but like you can't drink or eat 10 minutes before and after. So you kind of, you know, some days you kind of just like you thirsty, drink whatever. They give me opportunity. And some days like you just kind of like in and out. And then some days you're just like, oh, shoot, my bad, mom. I forgot. I drank some of my water. I have to wait.
I do it too.
I had to reset the timer.
Me too.
I want to think the most rewarding, and it's we found his remedy, and there I know there will probably be more as well. But he's been on the same remedy since November of 2022, and we've changed potencies once. And before that, we were changing like monthly, every 2 months. And it was finding that and just seeing like the thing, he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and going and going, and got his driver's license, went back to school, was willing to do ERPs, just those things. And it just watching that and just watching as learning as myself, oh, it's time for him to have his remedy. Oh, it's been a week. It's time. And you could just kind of see those little things. Wasn't big things. And I would always hear you guys saying, you know, on the first thing, don't give it. But when that second thing comes around, maybe it's time to dose. And so just seeing that work after I've been hearing it for, you know, a couple of years, and like, okay, I'm here. It happened.
What is life for you now as you guys have been working through homeopathy? And what are some of the major wins that you've had?
Just Trent's had lots of wins. He's driving.
We started with all the wins, right?
He's independent. He's doing well in school, but probably just the person that he is. I mean, he sees the good in everybody. He's appreciative of what he has and what he gets to do. He doesn't take it for granted. And just watching him enjoy life. And I think Clayton and I have got, because for a while we were still scared, like, okay,
yeah, for sure,
you know, what's going to happen? When is it going to happen again? But just being able to enjoy life, enjoy family time, do things together. Yeah. Just him being a regular teenager, living his best teenage life.
I'm gonna push back on that. It does not sound like a regular teenager to me. Despite, like, even with all the things that have already set you aside from like a regular teenager, the fact of the matter is, Trent, you are 18 years old and you are doing something I didn't do until I was 34, which is share outwardly, publicly about your experience for something that was really hard and that made you sometimes feel like you were not good enough or there was something wrong with you. And to be willing to do that at 18, still in high school, and willing to come forward and share that is, it's a huge gift to all of the young men who are going through something that they don't feel like they can get help with, or they feel like something is wrong with them. Yeah, it's remarkable. And I'm so grateful.
Well, I think that's just kind of life, you know. I think especially since I've come out from being sick, I just kind of try to have that mindset. Make your pain your purpose, because like you could always have resentment and be mad for what you lost, and sometimes you still have those moments like, dang, like what if that, but you kind of just got to move on and like, hey, maybe I was put in this situation for a reason, like maybe it's because God put me in this situation to help the next person going through it, and the next person, and just kind of just getting the word out there, because I think half of it is really just awareness, because I feel like the earlier you catch it, because I can only imagine, like, what if I was able to get to a neurologist in the fall, not beginning of the summer, and like maybe it could have turned out differently. But you know, I don't regret it at all, because you know, God has a plan for me, and I know it's just all this is a journey for a reason, and I'm grateful to continue to, you know, see where it goes.
Well, since you are such an exceptional person that's willing to share early on, I'm curious if you have anything that you would offer to other kids, young men, young adults who have recently been diagnosed with PANS, or maybe who are hearing your story and like seeing something of what they're experiencing themselves.
One thing, I'm in a support group for PANS kids. It's called PANS Courage, like PANSCARGE, however you spell courage.
Yeah, we'll find it. We'll put a link to it.
But yeah, it's an Instagram account, and we meet usually once a week or something. So if you want like a kind of support of other kids that are going through what you're going through, that's a great resource. And I'll say, especially for the insomniac PANS kids, get sun, because that helped me tremendously. Like, my circadian rhythm was off, and I think just going out in the sun and like getting that on you, it kind of resets your clock, and I think it helps you emotionally too. And try to, if you're able to, work out. Working out in the house is great, or working out outside, I think both is great for you. Because my mom used to always say that helped me detox, like anything, mold and stuff like that. Because I think when I got really sick, I wasn't working out anymore, and it was harder for me to like detox anything that my body was trying to release. And
I'm going to just add, be a doctor for a minute and throw it in there, that you have to be forgiving of yourself too, because when you are not doing well, exercise is harder. And so exercise if you can, but know your limitations, and it's okay. Exactly. They're lower than what they were before.
100%. I think that was hard for me at first too. Because like when I first started exercising, my dad, I was like, hey dad, can you make me a little like workout plan? You think it'd be good for me? And he kind of typed it out, and we had a little like thing at home, and it was mostly just kind of body weight stuff. And I had to start really slow and really just build my way up gradually. Yeah. I started listening to meditations like every night. I used to have like, I had a really hard time going to sleep, so I kind of listened to sleep meditations and just kind of help you with it. And especially when you're like maybe having like a OCD moment where you're asking like a bunch of like questions and all that, take a deep breath. Cause like I read like a book on OCD, and it essentially says like your breath, your amygdala, which is kind of control of your fight or flight, which is kind of control of your anxiety. It's constantly looking for oxygen levels. Mm-hmm. So when you get anxious, you start huffing and puffing, and then get more and more anxious. So try to take a few deep breaths to kind of get the oxygen level up, and hopefully that helps you, and just kind of try to get it back in focus.
Kathy and Clayton, what advice would you guys offer for parents that are just now learning about PANS?
Patience, be patient. It's a roller coaster of a ride for sure. Just hold on tight, and you'll get through it. I'm just glad I had my wife to kind of support me, and I'm supporting her, and at the same time, because it took both of us to do it. Sometimes I was tired, and she would motivate me and help me out. And then there was times I would do the same for her, but it was a total team effort for sure.
Just know it's going to be all right. It's going to work out in the end. You might not see the light at the end of the tunnel yet per se, but just know if you keep doing what the doctors say and keep working on it and just try to keep coming back and just be forgiving of yourself, and know like at the end it's going to work out for your benefit. And like at the end, like just you as a person, it's going to be really great, because you're going to have way more gratitude towards life and just the people around you.
And I want to say, I want to say that, you know, at some point you're going to say to yourself that, you know, you're going to think it's never going to end. But I mean, and I said it a couple of times, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But it will. Just keep the faith and stay persistent, and just don't give up. That's cool. Don't give up.
And I would say don't lose hope in research, because as moms, we know our kids. research what works for your family, what works for your kid, and know that it's okay to make those little steps to get to where you need to go. It may take 6 months, it may take 5 years, but you can get to a better place.
My brother had a shirt. I really liked it. It said, celebrate the little victories, because multiple, like, these are like the big W's. It's like wins. So I like that. I like the
same. Awesome. I like that too.
Trent, I'm gonna talk on behalf of all Pan's moms and dads. It is a really, really hopeless feeling watching your kid go through Pan's and trying to figure out how to help our kids. I'm curious, you know, what your parents did to help support you through PANS.
Kind of just meet me where I'm at. Because especially like when you're good. So there's some days where you're good and some days where you're not good. And I think one of the things that really hurt me was like, if someone asked like, hey, you were able to do that yesterday, why aren't you able to do it today? So I would try to kind of just stay away from that. Because that is kind of just, I remember it was kind of hurtful because, like, I'm not trying to, but just some days are just better than others. Like, maybe I was able to touch this today, and then maybe the next day I wasn't able to touch it, because that's just kind of, it's kind of like a back and forth. And just meet them where they're at and kind of, like, know when to push them. Because there's going to be some days where, like, you tapped out, like, you kind of just kind of you give in. And then there's some days where, like you're kind of on the edge, like maybe, and then just kind of give them that little push, like you can do this, like it's gonna be okay, like we'll be here for you after, and like you're gonna see, like it's still gonna be all right. It's kind of those things.
All right, Trent, is there anything that you think that other kids should know if their parents suggest that they might try homeopathy?
I'd say just try it, because why not? Because like I don't know where you are on your journey, but I'm sure you've tried a bunch of other stuff. And you can still try all the stuff you're trying on top of homeopathy. So I just don't think it could hurt, because it could always, because like, especially me, like I was doing all sorts of stuff, and it was just one of those things my mom came across, and slowly as I did more and more, I got better and better. So like, just kind of like a, why not? Like,
yeah,
You're gonna look at other treatments anyway. You're gonna do this and that, and you're still gonna be able to do all that while doing your remedy.
Yeah.
Kathy and Clayton, the whole PANS journey, the homeopathy journey, all of it. You have all of this hindsight, all of these amazing lessons that you've learned and things that you've been through. What would you tell yourself at the very beginning of the journey now with everything that you have learned?
Man, take a deep breath, slowly blow it out. Oh, wow. You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do different. I would do it again if I had to, because I had to. I didn't see a choice. So, but it taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about love. I mean, parents love their kids. I would do anything for them. And when I say anything, do anything. I mean, I did some things that my wife always reminds me sometimes. You remember this? And I totally forgot about it. I'm like, I did what? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like,
but, you know, it's all in trying to get my son better. So, I mean, I would do anything.
Yeah.
So
I remember those times. It would be 2, 3 a.m. He got work the next morning. I said, Dad, like, I need to eat. I was like, I need you to help me use the restroom. Like, I need you to help me shower. And that process could take up to 3-4 hours. I want to be back upstairs till like 4 a.m. He got work in the morning. So I'm just blessed to have these two parents that took care of me the whole time. And I don't know what I'll do without them.
Anything you want to add to that, Kathy? Or should we wrap on that? Really, like, the beginning and the end. I love, Clayton, like, I'm so grateful. You began with love and you ended with love. I don't know if you noticed that, but you started our conversation with love and you ended it with love. And I think that that's ultimately, like, the most important thing. Like, you said that you learned a lot about yourself and about love through this process. And it sounds like that's true for all of you, that you learned about yourselves, you learned about love, and you learned about patience and persistence, and you got an opportunity to practice it, and you saw what you guys were capable of. And I just, I'm envisioning some amazing things for you guys in the future. And I really hope, Trent, that you will stay in touch with us and maybe come back and share some victories, you know, do a victory lap and another victory lap so we can get
to that. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Because it just like I said, from hearing about your story years ago when Kathy and I first spoke to speaking to you now, and now I'm getting to meet your dad too. And it's just, it's amazing. So I think we're going to end here with love. And where else do we go from there? Thank you so much for joining us and for all of your strength and your vulnerability and coming to share with us and sharing the love.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.